Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to bring you to just a message that Joe was like, you know, I was asking Joe, what am I talking about? You know, like Shift does a lot of series, different stuff like that. And I said, Joe, what am I talking about? And he's like, whatever's on your heart. So I started thinking about it and I said, well, what's on my heart? And so I started asking God, praying, Lord, what's on my heart? Lord, I want to show up and I want to drop a bomb of the Holy Spirit on them tonight. And I just said, Lord, I need you to reveal what's in my heart to them. And the Lord revealed to me that Michael Phelps is the greatest of all time. No, not really, but no, really, but that was it. But no, anyways, the Lord started speaking to me and I just started reflecting over the past couple of weeks. And you know, I wanted to talk to you tonight about living a champion's life. And, you know, as cliche as it might be right now with the Olympics, I'm like, my wife and I, we're like total bandwagon Olympics fans. You know what I mean by bandwagon fans? Like, I could care less about swimming for 3 years. I could care less about track records. I mean, I don't even give a hoot about archery or air rifle or like trap and skeet shooting. I could care less. Literally, like, please don't ever show it on the TV, like gymnastics. Don't want to see it. But then every 4 years, something happens to me. And the Spirit of the Lord starts to work in my heart. And all of a sudden, the Olympics come on, right? And those five rings start showing up. And then the Olympic theme starts coming on. And then Bob Costas is on the TV. And they start showing the trials. And they start showing the qualifiers. And I saw this one comedian on Instagram was talking about, like, you know, how emotional you start getting. Because every person that's going to the Olympics has this, like, amazing story of, like, how they shouldn't be there. And how they, like, broke their leg. Or that they had a surgery. And they tore their arm fell off. And the doctor put it back together and they shouldn't have qualified and they gave up or they were at the and then they made it and then because they made it they got like their new record and they got there and everybody's crying and I'm like crying to him like this is Jesus in my life, right? And so all of a sudden then the Olympics start, right? And then the country start walking out and you know you just fast forward through that opening thing until the United States walks out. Couldn't nobody care about nobody else anyways. So oh, the country start walking out, and then they come out with a Ralph Lauren, and you're just like, I'm so proud to be an American, right? And you're just like, just can't wait, you know? And then all of a sudden, my wife and I, we're just like Olympic fanatics only during the Olympics. I don't care about it afterwards. But just during the Olympics, we're like DVR and everything. I've got like 72 hours of Olympics that I watch and fast forward, you know, just like, that looked good. Stop, pause it, rewind it. Okay. And so we're watching all of it. Yesterday, we were watching archery. Just watching these people shoot a bow and arrow and just, like, captivated by it. Like, wow, that's amazing. How long have they been doing this for? Like, 15,000 years. Oh, wow. Okay, like. And, you know, but the thing about the Olympics that was really speaking to me, I said, God, what's on my heart, is just that the stories behind the Olympics and what makes them so special is you've got stories of these men and women, these people that are, I mean, the gamut of people. I mean, we were watching gymnastics, and there was a lady that had been in the Olympics for, like, 16 different Olympics. She was 41 years old. And then you've got girls that are 15 years old competing against this 41-year-old woman. You've got, you know, these swimmers that are in their 15s and 16s, and then you've got these guys that are in their mid to late 30s. And it's just this gamut of people from all walks of life, from different social and economic backgrounds, and all of them have just such an amazing story. And the press and the media, they do such a good job of telling the behind the stories. I mean, everybody's caught up in the Michael Phelps and, you know, how he retired and how London was a failure to him and he was done and he was at the lowest point of his life, and then all of a sudden he came back and he won that fourth gold in a row and he was just waving. If you didn't watch it, oh man, it was amazing. I was crying. I was all like jacked up. And you know, I started to do something in me. Stacey and I were talking about it, and I think it was when Michael won that fourth relay in our fourth 200 meter breaststroke in a row. Nobody had ever done that. And I leaned over to Stacey and I just said, babe, how cool would that be to be him right now? I mean, how amazing would that be just to be right there in the moment and just experience what he's experiencing right now? To think about, you know, the greatest of all time, that the nearest Olympian to ever be awarded any medals doesn't even come close to as many medals as they have collectively, as close to as many medals as he has in just gold alone. What would it be like, babe, just to sit there right now and hear the crowds and hear the people shouting your name and just to realize that you are at the top of the world, at the top of your game, and the inspiration behind what happens to these men and these women and these boys and these girls when they're at the top of their game. There's something that we begin to reflect in our lives and we look at something. Maybe it's not the Olympics. Maybe it's something like the Super Bowl. Maybe it's something like a competition. Maybe it's that singer or somebody who's at the top of their game, and you think, man, what would it be like? I mean, I just try to think of, like, what would it be like for me to be in that position right now? And we start to fantasize, we start to dream, like, well, if I only would have worked a little bit harder as a kid, maybe I could have been on the swim team, or if I wouldn't have washed out in football, then I could have been the place kicker for Yucaipa High School, and then I could have been a field goal kicker, because that was the aspirations I had in football, really low. If you're a place kicker, I'm sorry, but nobody remembers the place kickers. Maybe that was a little harsh. I'm sorry. But we find this inspiration and we look to ourselves and we say, man, how cool would that be? And then we start looking at our lives and it's like, you know, these guys, they're 16 years old and everybody in the world knows their name. And these guys, you know, like Michael Phelps, everybody will remember him as the greatest athlete that the world has known in our era. And then we look at our lives and then we say, man, like, what have I done? Like, what have I ever done that's, like, big? What have I ever done that's accomplished anything? Like, what have I ever done that's worthwhile? Like, what have I ever done? I mean, I wake up every morning and I put my clothes on and I go to work and I come home and I go to bed and I wake up and I go to work and I wake up and I go to work and just my day goes on and you know, I blink and school's over and then I blink and all of a sudden I'm married and all of a sudden I have a kid and I have two kids and now it's been, I'm tripping out this year. It's like officially I'm old for me. Like, you know, it's been 16 years since I graduated from high school. It's been 14 or 15 years since I graduated from Bible college, and next year will be 10 years since I graduated from university. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done with my life? But the thing of what I want to talk today about is that God has a purpose and a plan for you where you're at. Look, you may not ever be the next Michael Phelps. You may not ever be the next Michael Jordan. You might not be the next Christy Yamaguchi. You might not be the next Carrie Underwood or Beyonce, whatever. You may not be that. But God has a purpose for you. And God has a design and he has a desire that he wants you to recognize and realize in your life so that you would live out a life of a champion. You may not be a gold medalist champion. You may not be a Super Bowl champion. You may not be an MLB champion. You may not be a basketball champion. You may not be a Grammy Award champion. But God has a plan and a desire for you, a purpose in your life for you to live out your life like a champion. We're talking about the Olympics. Did you know that Paul the Apostle, and in Jesus' day and in Peter's day, did you know that the Olympics were a huge thing? As a matter of fact, and you may not have known this, but the Olympics started nearly 800 years before Jesus was ever born. And they lasted for 1,500 years in that era until about 350 AD when the Romans decided that they were carnal and they shut them down. 1,500 years every 4 years in Greece, they would gather together and they would run and they would compete and they would have different competitions like we see today. And so in the time and in the aspect of Paul and Peter and Jesus and James and John's life in the New Testament, they were very well versed and they were very familiar with the idea of Olympics and superstars in sports and people who had dedicated their lives to a craft and were rewarded and challenged by that. And so oftentimes in Paul's writing, we see that influence come out when Paul starts to talk about the relation of the game of competition as to our walks with God. And I had you turn to 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, Paul the Apostle's talking to the church and he says these words. He's talking to them in Corinth, and this is Corinth is in Greece, and Greece is where the Olympics originated from. And so of all people who Paul is talking, these are the people most familiar with competitions and legendary games. And Paul says, don't you know that those who run in a race all run? Everybody's running in a race. But only one person receives the prize. So he challenges the church and he says, so run. Run in your life. Utilize your life. Walk out your life. Live your life so that you would obtain the prize. Now, he's not talking about the laurel crown that they would receive at their time. He's talking metaphorically. He's using an illustration, much like I use the illustration of the Olympics in our day. Paul is saying, you understand that there are men and women out there that are competing for the prize and the crown of the title of the best, of the greatest of all time. There are men and there are women out there who are champions. And you understand that there are many people who run the race, but only one person at the end of that race stands on top of that podium and receives the prize. And then he challenges the church. He challenges you, and he challenges me. He challenges the person beside you. He challenges the people who aren't here tonight. He challenges the people across the world. He challenges people in the future. He challenges the people he'll never meet. He says, you run your race so that you would obtain the prize. You see, Paul is challenging the church. Live a champion life. You see, he goes on and he says in the very next verse, verse number 25, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, is self-controlled. But they do it to obtain a crown that is perishable, but you and I, we, the church in our lives, we do it for an imperishable or everlasting crown. Now, if you know what Paul's talking about in relation to what Paul was talking about, they didn't hand out gold medals in the Olympics of Paul's day. What they handed out was called a laurel wreath or a crown. Maybe you've seen it before. If you ever see a picture of Caesar, you know, the carvings of Caesar Augustus and all the leaders of the Roman and the Greek Empire. If you've ever seen pictures of Plato or Socrates, or if you've ever seen Athens 2004, the Olympics, they put a wreath around their heads that was leaves, that was interlocking or interwoven twigs, so that there was a crown of leaves or a wreath upon their head. That was a crown of glory. And everybody who was a ruling monarch at the time, every Caesar in the Roman Empire, every leader, every great philosopher, every great athlete was given and crowned with this laurel wreath or this crown. And they wore it, and it was a status symbol. Much like to the Olympians in our day, a gold medal around your neck is a status symbol. A status symbol of what? Championship. It's a symbol of rule. It's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of power. And Paul says they run their race to obtain a crown. Now, this was a tangible, physical crown of leaves. So like any bouquet of flowers, guys, if you've ever given your wife or your girlfriend a bouquet of flowers, what happens to it in a couple of days? Girls, you know what I'm talking about? It dies. It withers, right? And then y'all try to save it. You're like, oh, my boo, my bae gave it to me. So I'm going to hang it upside down in my closet. I'm going to try to dry it out to remember it forever. But it never looks the same. It takes on a different shape. It dies. It withers away. Paul says the crown that these men and that these women are running for around the world is something that's going to die and it's going to wither away. But he says your championship life is not about a crown that somebody puts upon your head while you walk this earth. Your championship life is not about accolades. It's not about awards. It's not about medals. It's not about records. It's not about all the different things that we equate to a championship life. He says, your championship life is for a crown that does not pass away. What is your crown? Your crown is this. Your crown is a position in the kingdom of God. That is your reward for living a champion life. You think about when somebody wins the gold medal, when somebody wins first place, where do they stand? They stand on the podium, right? They stand on the highest position. And Paul the Apostle is saying that you and I, we ought to run our race. We ought to live our lives in such a way that we stand on the position and the podium of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we live a champion life. You see, God wants you to live a champion life. I should have got a better amen than that, but it's all right. We'll move on. Maybe I'll get a better one later. God wants you to live a champion life, but the problem with most of us in this room, the problem with most of us in this church, the problem with most of us in the church around the world, the problem with most of us is that we don't feel like champions. We don't feel like there's anything to offer. We don't feel like there's anything that we can do, because what we've done is we've looked at the life of champions. We've looked at the light of the greats. We've looked at the lives of the Michael Jordans and the Kobe Bryants. We've looked at the lives of the Beyoncés and Taylor Swifts. We looked at the lives of you know, the Christy Yamaguchis and the Nadia Comaneci's and all the Inchis and Enchis and Russians and Ukrainians and all the Olympic superstars. We've looked at all the lives of the Michael Phelps and all the different athletes and all the different superstars and all the different football players and all the different baseball players and all the different things in our lives that we look up to. And we see the glamour. And we see the glitz, and we see the cars, and we see the positions, and we see the clothes, and we see all the different things that they have. And we say, in order to be a champion, I got to look like that. In order to be a champion, I got to have like that. In order to be a champion, my Instagram feed has got to be full of different things that everybody's looking at my life saying, I wish I had a life like them. Why? Because I'm looking at the champion saying, I wish I had a life like that. But that's not what a champion is. Why? Because a champion, the life of a champion, you know, the beautiful thing I think about the Olympics is they tell the story of many of these athletes. And many of these athletes had to get to the lowest and darkest places of their lives in order to get to the highest podium in the world. Many of the greatest players of all time, many of the greatest singers of all time, many of the most influential people on earth of all time had to find the lowest and darkest places of their lives in order to find the highest positions on earth. But we don't see that. We don't see the work that goes into a champion. We don't see the training and the years of effort and the years of blood and sweat and tears. We don't see the losses. We don't see the disappointments. What we see is the medal ceremony, and we say, when am I going to get mine? But the life of a champion is not the medal ceremony. The life of a champion is what leads up to it. Under Armour, man, I'm all about the Olympics, right? So Under Armour just put out this commercial about Michael Phelps on Facebook today. And it was like, what you do in the dark is brought to light in the pool, or I don't know, something like that. And I'm like watching Michael Phelps train. I'm just crying. I'm like, and then somebody posts the response of Michael Phelps to his own commercial. They brought him in. They're like, here's your commercial. And he's just like, oh my God, I don't even know. You see, we don't even recognize and realize that the truth behind what a life of the champion really is. And so what happens is we compare to the front lines, we compare to the headlines, we compare our lives and we say, well, there's no way I'm ever going to amount to anything in life. There's no way I'm ever going to have anything in life. There's no way I'm ever going to be effective in life, when God says, that's not my plan for you. God wants you to live a champion life. But the problem is we don't see our potential. We think that we're washed out. We think that we've missed too many opportunities. We think that there's just not enough hope for you and I. But you see, you will never reach the championship level unless you realize the champion on the inside of you. You will never reach the championship level unless you realize the champion on the inside of you. Until you begin to recognize that on the inside of you, God has placed a will, God has placed a grace, God has placed a calling on your life to rise up beyond the rest for what God has gifted and brought you to. And God says, in you, I have great plans. In you, I have great things. In you and inside of you, I have placed a calling, an anointing, a gifting, a grace in your life. And until you begin to realize the champion on the inside of you, given to you by God, you will never find yourself at the championship level. And the enemy's position, the enemy's purpose, the enemy's desire in our life is to get us to live in the place where we don't recognize and we don't realize our potential. We look at the 1%, the Michael Jordans and the Michael Phelps and the Beyoncés and the Taylor Swifts. We look at the greats of all time and we say, well, that's just the small percentage of the population. Most every one of us are just commoners. And they have an extraordinary gift and an extraordinary talent, and they have an extraordinary ability that I don't possess in my own life. And I wonder about that idea, and I wonder about that mindset, and I think, how many future or past Michael Jordans were there? How many future or past Kobe Bryants were there now. If you're not a Lakers fan, sorry about you. But I'm a bandwagon fan because Antonio tells me about them. So how many future or past Steph Currys? All right, I don't even play basketball. I don't even know about basketball. All right, how many future and past Michael Phelps? How many future and past Beyonce? How many future and past Brian Houston's? Let's get out of sports. Let's talk church for a minute. How many future and past Greg Crochelle's are there and have there been that went their entire life not recognizing and realizing the potential that God has given to them and never achieving the championship position and status that God ordained them to be because they never took the time and they never had the eye to realize the champion inside of them? How many people, you say, well, Michael Phelps was born to be a swimmer. How many other people were born just like him? How many other people were born with just gifts, but because they didn't see the potential, because they didn't realize what was on the inside of them, they never arose to that position. Think about it like this now. Let's bring it back home. How many people in the body of Christ? How many people in church? How many people today, here, tonight, are walking through life thinking, I don't have anything to offer this world, not recognizing that you might be the next titan within the church because of the potential that God has within you? You might be the one that nobody else could in your family, and you can, but you couldn't, or you didn't, because you didn't see the potential on the inside of you. You might be that person that makes a change in your university or your school. You might be that person that brings influence to your job. You might be that person that comes up with the next great idea. But until you recognize and realize that God has given on the inside of you something great, the position to be a champion in the kingdom of God, how many will go their entire lives without recognizing that God wants them to be champions? Paul says, church, run your race so that you win. He didn't say run your race so that you get a good time. Run your race so that you keep up with the best of them. He says run your race to win. Champions win. You see, God has a calling on your life. As a matter of fact, I'll take it even a little bit more specific than God has a calling on your life. Jesus Christ put a call on your life. Did you know that? Specifically, Jesus Christ put a call on your life. Me? Yeah, you. Wait, you're looking at your neighbor like, no, you're talking about you, right? No, you. Jesus had a call on your life. You know what that call was? Jesus told his disciples. And John, his disciple, heard it, and he wrote it for everybody else to read it so that they would understand this was the call of Jesus Christ. In John the 14th chapter, verse number 12, Jesus says these things. He says, the things that I say to you, the things that I do, you will do. Wait a minute, Jesus. Jesus, you healed blind people. Jesus, there were paralytics and you touched them and they got up. Jesus, you just spoke and people were healed. Jesus, you remember that one time, Jesus, when you took the fish and the loaves and you broke it and then all of a sudden there was more. Jesus, you did something, and you say, I can do that, and Jesus says, the things that I do, you will do. And then he takes it one step further. And you will do greater things than these. Greater things than these. Greater things than these. How do you get greater than raising people from the dead? How do you get greater than multiplying fish and loaves? How do you get greater than seeing thousands of people with this, the sound of your voice without PA systems coming to know God as their Savior? How do you do greater than that? Jesus, you're tripping. You're the Son of God. You're born of a virgin, Holy Spirit inspired and conceived. You're special. I'm ordinary. And Jesus says, no, because I go to my Father, I give to you my Spirit to live on the inside of you. You see, the disciples, they had only lived in a time where they saw Jesus physically. And they saw the Spirit of God move through a man. And now Jesus says, I'm going to my daddy. I'm going to my position. I'm taking up my crown in heaven. I'm standing on my podium for my victory in my life. And I'm going to give to you the very same spirit that was working in me, the very same spirit that was speaking to me, the very same spirit that was moving through me. Jesus says, I am going to give that to you. So you've got everything I had and more. Now it's time to get out there and live a champion life. But we still say, God, I can't do it. I'm just an ordinary person. So was Jesus, born of a virgin from the town of Nazareth, a carpenter's son by trade. They even looked at him and they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You might have been born in Colton. And you look at Colton, you say, can anything good come out of Colton? You know what? God has given to you the same spirit on the inside of Jesus Christ that moved through Jesus. He has given it to you, and Jesus gave you the challenge. He gave you the authority. He gave you the anointing. He gave you the calling to say, you will live a champion life because I'm equipping you with my spirit to do so. Stop looking at yourself saying, I'm nobody. Stop looking at yourself saying, I got nothing to offer. Jesus Christ didn't die for a bunch of nobodies. Well, he did die for a bunch of nobodies, but he died for a bunch of nobodies to turn them into a bunch of somebodies, Paul says. You were nothing when Jesus Christ came, so that you had nothing to boast on except for the power of God on the inside of you. You, because of Jesus Christ on the inside of you, are now a champion. And it's time for us, the church of Almighty God, to stand up, to rise up, and to live the life of a champion on earth, to fulfill the words of Jesus Christ that says the things that he did and the things that he does, I will do, and I'll do greater than them. Why? Because I got Jesus, I got the Holy Spirit, and there's not just one of us walking the earth. Now there's billions of us walking the earth. There's no reason this world couldn't come for Jesus Christ, because this is the church of champions. In the middle of the ghetto IE, this is the church of champions because of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. So today, you need to know that God wants you to live a champion life. You walk out of this place, you say, I'm a failure. You know what? No, you're not a failure. You're a champion. And you'll never get to championship status until you begin to realize the champion on the inside of you. And that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the champion on the inside of you. It's not your talent. It's not your abilities. It's not your gifting. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And today I thought I'd just do something kind of fun. I thought I'd just take some practical application of the Olympics and Michael Phelps. Just kidding. And talk about four keys to living like a champion. And what we see from these men and women who have gone before us in championship life, four keys to live like a champion. As Paul the Apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. So if you've got to go back there, because we're going to pick it up in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The first thing I began to see as I was reading through this, and I asked the Spirit of God, speak to my heart, tell me what you want me to talk about. I see the key of determination. Determination. You see, to live life at the top level takes a lot of determination. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of hardship. It takes a drive that says beyond the failures, beyond the losses, beyond the pain, beyond the blood, beyond the sweat, beyond the tears, beyond everything that you see in the glory of my position, there's 100% or 99% that you don't see and that you don't realize and that you don't know the effort that I've put into it. Like I said, many of these athletes had to go to the lowest and darkest places of their lives. I think of Michael Jordan. I talked about it last year. Michael Jordan, you know, his basketball coach told him he failed to make his high school basketball team. That's crazy. We're talking about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, MJ, right? You buy his shoes for $129 and up, right? You don't get that because you failed your basketball team. But it takes determination to say, I'm not going to let failure, I'm not going to let opposition, I'm not going to let hardship come my way. I'm going to run, and I'm going to do it with a reason. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter, verse number 26, Paul says, I run thus. He's talking about him now. He says, you need to run your race so that you win and so that we obtain an imperishable crown, an eternal crown. Paul says, I run like this. Thus means like this, all right? Paul says, I run like this, not with uncertainty. He says, I'm not running with uncertainty. I'm not running thinking, is this it? Is this it? Am I doing it right here? Am I guessing? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this my gifting? Is this my calling? It doesn't seem like anything's working. I try, but Pastor Luke, I need help. There's my boss at my job, and they're just so mean to me. And Pastor Luke's like, well, you need to be nice to your boss and stop having bad attitude and pray for your boss. And you're like, but Pastor Luke, I did that already and it didn't work. And so like I need like level two on how to make my boss. No, determination. Determination says, despite what happens in my life, I'm going to press on. Despite what I see coming at me, I'm going to keep going. Paul says, I don't run with uncertainty. I run like a champion. Why? Because I'm running to win. I'm not running to run. I'm running to win. And you've got to live your life with the determination of God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that says, despite the opposition that comes my way, I'm going to run. I wonder how many Christians, myself included, how many of us run our race, and the moment our race hits a little bit uphill, we give up. How many of us, when somebody edges us out in life, and all of a sudden we start comparing ourselves and looking to our Instagram feeds and our Facebook and say, well, they're making it better than I am, and they got a better paying job than I am, and they're having more fun on the weekend than I am. And all of a sudden we start to look at our life and we say, what's the point? What's the purpose? And what do? We back off and we slack off on our race. When God says, you got to run the race like a champion. You need determination to look at the defeats of life, to look at the moments in which you've fallen on your face, the moments in which you failed miserably. And let me tell you something, I am the king. Paul the Apostle says, the chief of sinners was he. And look at that moment and say with determination, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something about this and I'm going to live my life and I'm going to run my race like a champion that God has anointed and ordained me to be. Four keys to success, four keys to living a championship life. The first one was determination. The second one is dedication. Dedication. Think about the hours that go into training for the top level superstar, for the top level athlete. They don't just show up and nothing happens. They spend their entire time training and working and pushing. And there's always somebody right behind them, nipping at their heels, trying to cut them down, trying to take that record, trying to take that position, trying to take that podium. And no matter what they do, they have to press and they have to innovate. And they can't look to the past victories for what they do. They got to dedicate themselves. They got to get out. They got to go. And they got to walk the wire. They got to run the race without a net underneath them. Why? Because in order to be a champion, I got to go where nobody's gone before. That's why I am a champion. And it's going to take dedication in the church. It's going to take dedication in your life to say, I'm going to go where I've never gone before. I'm going to believe like I've never believed before. I'm going to step out like I've never stepped out before. I'm going to trust God like I've never trusted God before. Why? Because I'm going to dedicate my life. I'm going to push for what God has for me. Even if I don't see it coming my way, I'm going to press on. Paul says it like this, the second part of that verse in verse number 26. Paul says it like this. He says, I run not with uncertainty. Now look at this. He says, thus I fight. This is how I fight. So he tells us how he runs. I run like a champion. He says, this is how I fight. I don't fight like a shadow boxer. Not as though one who punches the air. That's cool, man. I think of like Muhammad Ali, you know, like float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, right? Right? All the speed. That's great. You think of shadow boxing? The boxers, they put a light behind them like that light is right there in their shadow. They watch it on the wall and they watch their movements. And what are they doing? You know what they're doing? They're conditioning and they're training their form. They're initializing muscle memory so that every time they throw a punch with the same decision and the same speed, the precision. And they have the form and they've got it down. But can I tell you something about form? Form doesn't mean anything without function. You could have the greatest form in life. You could be the best looking boxer on earth and then go up against Mike Tyson, who may not have the best design, the best form, but he, when he punches you in the face, guess what's going to happen to you? He's going to break your jaw, and you're gonna go down. And so we focus on form, and Paul says, I'm not boxing like a shadow boxer, trying to get my form down, trying to get my book smarts down. Paul says, I fight like a champion. You know what that means? That means I punch a bag. That means I punch a body. That means I want resistance. I want to press. Paul the Apostle says, I press on towards the prize. T, can I get you? Come here, bro. Just stand up here. All right. Now, Tony, you've been working out. Well, you've been working out more than me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to press. I want you to stop me. Stop me. I mean, just like, if you got to lay me out, bro, don't. All right, ready? Paul says, I press. I'm gonna get it. Okay. That's dedication. That's dedication. But when the devil comes and tries to block you, when all of a sudden your punches start hurting, you break your hand because you punched the devil too hard. Amen. Say, I'm gonna focus on smarts. There are far too many Christians walking around today focusing on form. Let me look good. Let me talk the Christian talk. When God says, I'm not interested in your form. I'm interested in your function on earth. Why? Because champions aren't interested in form. They're interested in winning function. So we, the church, have got to have dedication to push beyond opposition. To push in our lives. Three keys. So we talked about determination. We talked about dedication. Now we got to talk about discipline. Oh, man, I was hoping you were going to skip that verse. Praise Jesus. Paul says in the very next verse, verse number 27, and he says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, he says. My body don't tell me what it should do. I tell my body what it should do. There was that R&B song. Remember that movie, Without a Paddle? What was his name? I believe I can. R. Kelly. Right? My mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me yes. Right? Discipline. Discipline is knowing what to do and what not to do. You see, the life of the champion, we think about the glitz and the glamour. We think about the big houses and the fast cars. And we think about all the money. We Google, what's the net worth of Michael Jordan, what did Kobe retire with? We look at men like some of these great baseball players and we say, man, you made $96 million to play, throw a little white ball wrapped in leather with red stitches. You made $96 million to do that? We look at all that and we say, man, that's the life of a champion. You see, what we don't see is the life of a champion is the life of discipline. Because a champion, when everybody else is out partying, when everybody else is out celebrating, when everybody else is out talking about their victories and all the great times that they had, champions at home concentrating, focusing, looking to the future. You see, a champion in their discipline, they recognize that it's not just about their strength conditioning. It's also about how much they eat and what they eat and how their food plays into that. A champion recognizes that it's also just as much about rest as it is about work. A champion places discipline in every area of their life so that everything that they do is dedicated to that sport and to that craft that they do. And Paul says it like this. He says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. So Paul challenges the church. He says, run so that you win. Let me just show you how I run. He says, I run well, like a champion. I fight like a champion. I discipline my body like a champion. And I wonder how many Christians are walking around thinking, I got it all together. But really, when we look at our life, we live an undisciplined life. You know, see, a champion without discipline is just a distraction. They're just buying time. They're occupying a spot, a lane in the race, a position on the field. They're just a distraction. And without discipline, we live a life of distraction. A life without distraction is a life of no fulfillment and calling. So Paul says, discipline. How many of us talk when we know we shouldn't talk? How many of us watch TV when we know we should be watching a little bit less of that? How many of us are comparing ourselves on social media when we know we probably ought to just back off of that? How many of us are living life over here this one way and coming to church living our life this other way? How many of us are walking around with that secret sin that nobody knows about except God, thinking that I'm a disciplined life in all my areas except this one, God's grace. When Paul says, I discipline my body. You see, in order to live a championship mindset, you will never get to that championship level until you begin to realize that the champion is on the inside of you. And the champion on the inside of you has got to live a life of discipline, a life of action, a life of knowing what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. This is the life of a champion. Brett Favre even said it like this. He said that not all the greatest players make it to the team. As a matter of fact, not all the greatest players make it to the top. And he says, in fact, not all of them even make it to the team. Your talent and your ability will only get you so far. But then discipline steps in. And relying on your talent, relying on your ability, relying on what naturally comes to your propensity to do something, whatever it might be, without the discipline of the Holy Spirit on your life, will just be a distraction to the kingdom of God. And God does not want you to be a distraction to his body. God wants you to be a champion in his body. He wants you to live a life of victory, of fulfillment, to obtain an imperishable crown in the kingdom of heaven. Dedication, determination, discipline. And the last one that we see here, Paul, I see when I was reading this, Paul says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, and he says, lest when I preach, I should become myself disqualified. Here I see devotion. This is the why that drives Paul. Paul recognizes that everything I do is devoted to my purpose. Everything I do is devoted to my calling. Everything I do is so that I would not be disqualified from my race, but that I would be qualified. Because you see, God doesn't qualify the called. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And your qualification is not in your ability. Your qualification is not in your looks. Your qualification is not in the fact that you can speak. Your qualification is not in the fact that you might be a natural athlete or a natural singer. Your qualification is not in your gift. Your qualification is in God. And here we see athletes. They devote themselves wholly to their craft. As a matter of fact, I have a very high respect to one of my greatest lifelong friends, Joe. Joe is probably without a doubt the best athlete I personally know. All around, dude's a baller. He used to watch those and-one videos and just juke me, made me hate basketball because I had no self-esteem. He'd go out there and play baseball or softball and just hit the ball as hard as he could, run as fast as he could. He'd get out there and play soccer. I don't even want to talk about soccer. He was like Pele on the field. Just amazing. But I remember one time I was having a conversation with Joe. We were talking about something else. And he says, you know, I had the opportunity in my life to play baseball in high school. I had the opportunity to play basketball. I had the opportunity to play all these different sports. But he said, you know, I had to make a decision in my life. Was I going to be the jack of all these trades or was I going to be the master of one of them? And he says, and I chose to dedicate myself to soccer. He made All-American at what team? Arlington. First team All-League Arlington. Ivy League, Arlington, whatever, Riverside. I don't know, nobody care about Riverside. I'm just kidding. All the Riverside people are like, I'm not coming to the church ever again. And so, an athlete, a champion, they dedicate themselves to their craft. And so many people within the church today are stepping over or skipping over their calling to try to step into somebody else's. I'm going to say that again. You need to let that sink in. So many people in the church today are skipping over their calling, trying to step into somebody else's. When the attitude of a champion, the keys to champion life is devotion, is to recognize and realize that God has called you. He has anointed you. He has created you for a purpose today to fulfill the role in his body that he wants you to fulfill. And everybody wants to be the Michael Phelps or the Gabby Douglas or the superstar that takes the news. Nobody wants to be the archery champion because nobody knows who the archery champion is. Everybody wants to be the Usain Bolt, right? Dabbing because of your world record time. Nobody wants to be the guy that won the gold medal in that one event where you got to walk and not run. Nobody even knows what that event's even called. We laugh at it. But you see, every champion, devotes themselves wholly to their cause. And God has given you a cause in your life. He has called you out. He has set you aside. And he says, you know what? You may want to look like this over there. You may want to look like that over there. You might want the accolades. You might want to preach like Pastor Joe. That's what I say. I want to preach like Pastor Joe. You might want to be the next so-and-so, but that's not who I called you to be. And a champion needs to live and understand and respect the fact that God has a calling on their life, and I will devote myself wholly to whatever God's calling is in my life. And I will not skip over my calling to try to step into somebody else's calling. Why? Because I'm not living either one of them. And that is not the life of a champion. The devil's going to do everything he can, church, to convince you that you've got no potential. Can I tell you what I see? The old man in the room. Well, Joe's older than me. No, I'm not even old. 30's the new 20, amen? Praise Jesus. That's why they keep raising the age of shift, right? They're like, it's 18 to 28, and then it was like 18 to 30, and then it was like 18 to 30-ish, and then it was like, you know what? If you're just young at heart, you all can come, hang out. You just got to wear skinny jeans and a long shirt, and then you're cool. Can I tell you what I see? Looking out at the millennial generation, I see the greatest potential for the kingdom of God that this earth has ever seen. I see potential where nobody else sees potential. I see San Bernardino, hot, smoggy, muggy, ghetto, and rough. And I see potential. I see potential that's untapped. I see potential that's unrealized. I see champions in the making. But until this generation realizes that the champion's already on the inside of them with the Holy Spirit when they know Jesus Christ, they'll never get the championship status. But church, I believe that when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, it's not about who I am, it's about who God created me to be. It's not about the direction or propensity that I was born into. It's the direction, the propensity that I was called into. Then all of a sudden we begin to have a champion's heart. We begin to fulfill the calling of our lives. We begin to realize that the words of the enemy that say, you're nothing, you'll never amount to anything, you're a failure, you'll never be like that guy over there. No, you'll never be like that guy over there. Why? Because Paul the Apostle gives the analogy in the Bible of the body of Christ. Each and every one of us are a body, are a member of the body. And each and every one of us play a part. Not everybody's going to be the eye. Not everybody's going to be the O. Some nose. Somebody's got to be the pinky toe. Is that pinky toe going to be all right, being the pinky toe? Somebody's got to be the gallbladder. What does the gallbladder do? I don't know. I know you can take it out, but somebody's got to be a gallbladder. So be careful if you're the gallbladder because the Spirit of God can move you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But the body, when everything is working together in unison, it is beautiful and it is powerful. But when things stop working, arthritis starts setting in, division starts coming in the body, people are stepping over their calling to try to step into somebody else's. Guess what happens? Body starts tearing itself apart and we fall from glory. Church, there's so much potential in this room. The devil knows it and he's afraid. He just doesn't want you to know that. So he's going to try to get you to buy in to his story. But Paul the Apostle says, you are a champion because this champion spirit of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we recognize and we realize that although we may not feel like champions, although we may not feel like we amount to anything or we're worth anything, Lord, we look to you and we acknowledge that with your Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we ask that you would speak to each and every one of us, Father. Reveal to us your calling. Lord, your word says that you desire us not to walk and grope around in the darkness, but to know without a shadow of a doubt. Paul the Apostle says that I live in the grace and the sphere of influence that God has put me in, and I don't want to step out of it. I don't want to go anywhere else. So, Father, I thank you that we would recognize and realize the calling that you have placed on each and every one of us in this place to be a champion, a member of the body of Christ, to serve our purpose. And so, Father, we thank you that you would speak to us your encouragement. You would speak to us through your word. You would speak to each and every one of us in this place your desire and plan for our lives to live a champion life. In Jesus' name. Everybody, I just want you to ask you, just keep your heads bowed.